So we're holding on Tzadik Beis Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. We learned yesterday about the Gid Hanasha and what parts of it are mutter and also, and we mentioned also there's fat around it, where we talked about we ended up saying that fat around it is also drabanan. So it has to be cut out. We had Rabbi Yehuda saying you don't need to cut out very much of it, but Rabbi Meir said you had to cut out more. And then the last thing we talked about was we mentioned the Gidan Nosha itself. What about the branches of it? What about the smaller and smaller nerves that branch off it and spread throughout the leg? So we said those also are not also Daraisa. In that connection, we mentioned chutin shebechelev. We mentioned there are certain threads. So these include nerves, these include blood vessels. They can even include muscle fibers that are embedded within the chelev of an animal, and those are also ulcer. So now we're going to get into more talking about in more detail about what exactly is and isn't included in chelev. We learned briefly earlier in our masechta we had a machlokas between the Bishmal and Rabbi Akiva about the definition. What is the underlying definition of chelev? We said that it has to be. We had Rabbi Shmuel saying that it was any time that it's krum v'niklas, any time that you have a membrane and it peels off. And Rabbi Akiva had said toisav krum v'niklas. It has to be. It's not just that there's a membrane there. And not just that there's a membrane on top of the fat, and then you can peel off the membrane off the fat, but Rabbi Akiva had also added it has to be tosav, that the fat itself is in one solid piece, like a garment. Tosav literally means a garment, rather than being in individual pieces. And we talked about as far as different parts of the fourth stomach of an animal, which is covered with fat on two sides of it, which one is osur and which one is mutter. So now we're going to get into all of that and talk about more about the details of the anatomy and about the various places where such fat is found. So the Gemara says Gufa. Getting back to what we said before, Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Asi, Chutin Shebechelev Asurin, these threads, again, blood vessels and nerves and whatnot that go through the Chelev, Asurin, Be'en Chayovan Alehen, however, a person is not Chayev for eating them because they're not considered, they're not part of the Chelev. So they're not actually also on the Daraisa level. What's called is the expression that the Rishonim use is their yonik min ha-chelev, like they, so to speak, like they nurse, like they get their nurture from the chelev. These are, for example, I mean, the chelev itself, it's part of the animal. It needs a blood supply, so it has blood vessels that run through it. Sometimes it has nerves that run through it. So in that sense, like they're associated with that chelev, and therefore they're considered to be part of it. So similarly also the fat that's in the that's inside the kidney the chutin, again the chutin, these nerves or blood vessels or whatever that go through the kidney, the same thing also asurin vein chayavan alehin, also they're also, but a person is not chayav for eating them for the same reason. Now you have this fat, a good part of the kidney is inside it. There's fat inside it that we're going to talk about is chelev, but then again you also have blood vessels and other such structures that run through it. So those are also asur, but you're not chayav for them. What about loiven kolia? What about the white stuff in the kidney? So that's actual fat. So what part of that is asur? Rebbe v'Rabchia. So Rebbe and Rabchia argue about that. Chad also v'chad shori. One says that it's osir. One says that it's osir, and the other one says that it's mutter. So the kidney itself is covered. The kidney itself is covered by fat. But here we're talking about not the fat that's on the outside of the kidney. Here we're talking about what's inside it. So why do we have the different opinions? We'll see soon. So the Gemara continues, Rabba Mamarketlay. Now Rabba would actually dig it out completely. If he wanted to eat kidneys, he would actually, beforehand, he would dig out the fat in there entirely because he held that it's osur. Rabbi Yochanan Mamarketlay, and Rabbi Yochanan also would remove it, would pull it out and remove it completely. On the other hand, Rabbi Asi would not cut it off completely. He would just cut it. He would just cut whatever sticks out. Goyim lay. We had yesterday also. We had also the expression about goyimamoy imashoyfi. So goyimim means when you cut something flush to something else. For example, with a tree, goyimim means, for example, to cut off the trunk and leave it flush with the ground and not pull out the roots. So the same way over here, goyim le means he would cut out the part of it that sticks out of the part that sticks out of the kidney. When he would leave the part inside, he held that it's mutter. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Tavaseid Rab Asi Mistabra. Well, Rab Abaye says, it seems more logical, like what Rab Asi says, that what's inside the kidney is not actually osir. Amar Abba, Amar Shmuel, as we see that Rab Abba says in the name of Rab Yehuda and the name of Shmuel, Chelev Shabbosah Choyfa Oisei Mutter. When you have chelev where the flesh covers it, then it's mutter. So we're going to talk about further down that you have, for example, like this. You have on the flanks, on the sides of the animal, below the kidneys, as Rashi describes, then you have, there's a layer of fat over there, right underneath the kidneys. There it's visible, so that fat is osir. That's when the Torah lists the fats that are offered on the Mizbeach, it mentions, It mentions asher alaksolim, the fat that's on the flanks of the animal. So that part is chelev and is actually osir. Then Rashi describes that you eventually have, it goes under the muscles, and it continues down the sides of the flanks. So now there comes a point, once it's covered, it's basically sandwiched between two layers of muscle. So now, then at that point, when it's covered by layers of muscle inside and out, then it's mutter, because then it's, so that's called chelev shabasa choifa oisai, chelev which is covered by the muscles. Now, later on, Rashi points out, as you go further down the sides of the animal, eventually what you have is, Rashi describes those muscles, they thin out, and you have a thick krum, a thick white membrane comes out of that, and that continues down the bottom parts of the flanks. So there you have that white part again is chelev, and then underneath it Rashi describes those chelev as well. So now one way of looking at it is that membrane Rashi describes, so that membrane is not considered flesh anymore. At that point, you don't have chelev covered by muscle. You just have it covered by a membrane, and therefore it would be osir. On the other hand, Rashi brings that in Germany in his times they actually held that it's mutter, because they said that that's still is considered bosser, that part, that membrane is still considered flesh. Rashi also says he prefers that explanation and says that really would be considered chelev shabosser choyfa oisoi, that it really is considered that it's covered by that's covered with an actual covering. So this is not, now we learned before when we learned about the definition of chelev back in the third parak on Daf Mem Tes, we talked about there's chelev that's covered by a thin membrane which is peelable off. Now that's obviously not what we're talking about over here, because that would define it as chelev. So here we're talking about a thicker membrane, so it's not so easily peeled off the fat. Is it considered muscle or is it not? So Rashi, is considered busser or not? So that's Rashi brings up the different minhagim about it. Anyway, the point is that we see that chelev, which is covered by flesh, is mutter. Alma, so Abaya says, and you see from that, the Torah is only asking the fat that's on the flanks, but not what's inside the flanks. Again, when you get to this point, when you have a layer of muscle, then chelev, when you have a layer of meat, then chelev, then meat, then that kind of thing is mutter. Hakanami, the same thing over here. In the chelev, that's also the Torah list, Sha'alak Floyas. The chelev that's on the kidneys. Well, the same thing, Sha'alak Floyas, Samarachmana. So the Torah is only talking about the fat that's on the kidneys, Voloshabasecha Floyas, not what's inside the kidneys. So therefore, so Abaya argues that we have more logical reason to accept Rav Asi's position. Nonetheless, Rashi says that we can't do that because the halacha has not been definitively said like Rav Asi. So Rashi says, better it's whoever's machmer should be machmer. If somebody holds back, then you can say, Lohifsid, maybe he hasn't lost out. In other words, maybe Rashi means to say it's still better to be on the safe side and to remove it. On the other hand, Tosfos brings that, Rashi says, I'm mekel Lohifsid. If you're mekel, you haven't lost out. We're not going to say that the meat you're eating is treif. And Tosfos in fact says the bottom line halacha is based on what Abaye is saying over here, the loiven kolya, the white stuff, this white fat inside the kidney would indeed be mutter. So all you have to do at most is cut off the parts that are outside the kidney. That's how Tosfos says. And Tosfos goes on to discuss this point about fat inside things or so forth. So, And Shulchan Aruch brings these dinim. The Ramah says over there after the Mechaber brings several different places where chaylev is and isn't mutter. So the Ramah says, listen, you know, you gotta check with somebody who's expert in nikkur. You can't really explain it verbally so much. You have to actually observe an expert taking it out and see what it is. Ever since the Ramah's times and maybe a little before, there have been published svarim on the subject of nikkur, describing what needs to be removed and what not. But still, you know, it's one of those things where if a picture is worth 1,000 words, then an observation is worth 10,000 words, and you really need that information. So as far as the kidneys, the Mechaber brings, he says the kidney has two layers. The upper one, the outer one, is indeed actual chaylev d'oraisa, and a person would be chayav kares for eating it. Then you have an inner one, as well as these threads, again, as well as these blood vessels and whatnot that go through it. So the Mechaber says those are also, but you're not chayav for them. As far as the white stuff that we're talking about over here, the Mechaber says you do have to take off. What the white stuff, but you don't have to chat it after. You don't have to dig in and remove all of it. But v'yesh machmirin to dig in and remove all of it. So in other words, you have again, you know, as Rashi is saying, that we can't be sure the halacha is like Rabasi, but nevertheless. It is yesh machmirin to say that you should actually have to remove it, but maybe you don't actually need to. Different opinions.
Okay.
Gufa. So now getting to, let's get into...
So what is the chelev exactly? Is it outside of the kidney or it's inside of the kidney?
So what we're saying is like this. The outer layer of fat, the renal capsule, it's called in medicalese, is definitely also daraisa. There's no question that's chelev, that's also daraisa. The Torah says on it, al ha-tloyus, what's on the kidneys, and there's no question then that the fat that's on the outside of the kidneys is also. What we're talking about over here is that you have those fat inside the kidney. So again, based on the one hand we have Rabba, or the Ran has a view of Rava, and Rabbi Yochanan, who would actually completely root it out. They would actually take out every bit of it that they could. And on the other hand, we had Rabasi saying that you just have to cut out what's on the outside, what sticks out of the kidney. So again, Rashi's saying that we should be going according to the Machmir. However, Rashi says, if somebody holds back and doesn't do it, then fine, it's not a big deal. We can't say that he's eating trefa. And Tosfos discusses over here that also brings from Shiltis, who says the lenient opinion that it's fine. So again, so you have different poskim, different rishonim about it, about what exactly is and isn't mutter. One point is, in particular, if we're saying that Rava would pull it out completely, then that makes a big difference, because we know when we have Rava versus Abaya, the halacha is generally like Rava. So therefore, that would mean that even though Abaya is saying very logically the halacha should be like Rabasi, nevertheless, we see that Rava, according to that Gusa, is disagreeing with that and taking completely out. So again, there are Rishonim, the Tur and the Baal Amor and others who say that, and therefore say that it would mean that it is that fat inside the kidney is completely also. But again, you have respectable Rishonim, including Rashi and Tosfos and the Rambam, who say that you just need to take off the outer part, and that's it.
So the problem with that is that when you say the fat inside the kidney, there's no fat inside the kidney.
Well, if it's not fat, then whatever it is exactly, I mean, whatever that substance is, but it's something which is considered to be fat in halacha, yeah.
So the membrane that surrounds the kidney.
No, so that's something else. That's the renal capsule we're talking about. The renal capsule we're saying is definitely ulcer. What we're talking about is the fat, or whatever you want to call it. If you don't want to call it fat, call it something else. I don't know what it's called in medicalese, which is actually inside the kidney. It's a white substance that's inside the kidney. Call it whatever you want, I guess.
What is the chelev? What is it? It's fat?
Chereves fat, yes. Specifically, as we said, like I said before, you know, it's fat that has a membrane that can be peeled off, and according to Rabbi Akiva, in addition, it's also where it comes off as one piece. Nonetheless, I mean, so you have there's, you know, I haven't looked up exactly what the detailed anatomy of the kidney is, but you have some stuff inside it, so I think what it is basically, you know, you have the ureter and whatever in there, and that's covered with a layer of fat. So I think that's what we're talking about over here. We're talking about like the ureters and the various the various branches that they branch off into, which are covered with a layer of fat. So that's what we're talking about, it seems. Okay, so let's go on. In a similar vein, by the way, for example, when we had the third paragraph, when we were talking about, for example, the Knei Halev, which literally means the pipe of the heart. So it's one of the major blood vessels that goes out of the heart. We talked about that according to many of the Shonim, it's the aorta. And there also it was described as fat that runs between the lungs. It's not fat. It's a pipe. It's a blood vessel, but the outside of it is covered with fat. And therefore we talk about it as fat. So I think it's the same kind of thing over here. Okay. Onward. Gufa. Omer of Abba. Omer of Yehuda. Omer Shmuel. Chayv of Shabbos. Choyfa oisei mutter. So we said that Rav Abba had told us in the name of Rav Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, that chaylev, which is covered by flesh, is mutter. So like we said, you have on the sides of the animal, you have a layer of, you know, and then some on parts of the flanks of the animal, you have a layer of muscle, then a layer of fat, and then another layer of muscle, and we're saying that kind of thing is mutter. So the Gemara says, Amy, is that so? Well, Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, but the same Rav Abba, in the name of the same Shmuel said, Hai Tavid, Tusi Mosni Osir, that the fat that's underneath the loins is Osir. So why are we saying that the Chelav Shabbos of Choyfa Osir Mutter, when this fat that's under the loins of the animal is also sandwiched between muscle? And the answer is, Amar Abaye, Behema Bechayer, Paruki Mifrika. Because when the animal is alive, then those parts are separated. Rashi describes, as the animal walks around, Rashi describes, first of all, the basic anatomy at this point is like this. Rashi describes, you have the chaylev that we talked about before, that's sandwiched by muscle, before the point where the second layer of muscle comes in. So you have, it's covered by, so you have the loins, the haunches of the animal, where it's wider now. You have this is already towards the back of the animal, past the ribs. And then when you shech the animal and cut it apart, then you see that chaylev. But now Rashi describes, as the animal is walking, so things move over there. So sometimes that area by the loins over there, sometimes it's pulled, sometimes the muscles in that area pull upward and the flanks are pulled downward because of the animal's motion. So therefore this chaylev is not always covered by flesh. So that's behema b'chayei of peruki mifrika. It separates. Sometimes that area is covered and sometimes not, as the animal walks and as the animal moves around. And in fact, Amar Rav Yechonon, instead of Yechonon says in this connection, I'm no lav tabchana, I'm not a butcher, I'm not a son of a butcher, or nehirna, but I do remember the Hochi Avraami Bei Medrasha, that this is how they described it in the Beis Medrash, behema b'chaya peruki mifrika, that when the animal is moving around, then this area of fat sometimes gets covered and sometimes uncovered. So in short, in other words, we have parts of it. Where in fact it is mutter, because it's always sandwiched by muscle, and then we have areas where it moves back and forth, and parts of it are sandwiched between the muscle, and then the parts that are not always are going to be osur. So more on this topic. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Chelav shal hemsis uveisa koisis asurin va'onush koris. The chelav that covers the hemsis and the besakosis. Now we've learned before, hemsis and besakosis are the third and second stomachs of an animal. A kosher animal, as we know, has four stomachs. So the second one, which is where the cud is formed, is called besakosis, which literally means the place of the cups, because as we talked about in the third paragraph, the inner lining of it is covered with indentations that resemble cups. In Metapolese, in animal anatomy, they call it the reticulum because it has it's reticulated. It looks like a network over there of these it follows. And then you have the next one called hemsis in veterinarian's terms. It's called the omasum, which is where water and certain fats and whatever are extracted from the food before it gets passed to the fourth stomach for actual digestion. So now those two, the second and third stomachs are covered with a layer of fat. So now Rav Abba wants you to know that those, if a person eats that fat, then he would be osur, and that fat is osur, the onor shkoris, and he's actually chayv koris for eating it. V'zo chaylev shalak kerev, this is included in what the Torah says, chaylev shalak, when the Torah lists, again, the fats that have to be offered on the mizbeach, so it mentions a chaylev asher alak kerev, so that's what it is. Asher alak kerev means that it covers these stomachs, including those stomachs. We talked about in the third paragraph, we have fat that covers the fourth stomach, we have fat that's attached to part of the fourth stomach, and this is, it's all a continuation, it's the same basic sheet of fat. Okay. Getting back now further to the back of the animal, Amar Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hai Tarbid, the Kalibusta, also of Onish Kores, where the fat that's on the Kalibusta, which is the sacrum, so you have, Rashi describes, you have a little bone, that's right above the haunches, and then it's connected to the tailbone. So Rashi describes that right underneath, on it, there's a little bit of fat underneath the edges of the loins. So that's Rashi's definition of it. There are a couple of other definitions among the Rishonim of exactly what area we're talking about, but in the case we're talking about some area of fat over there. So again, also that fat over there, onush koris, and Rabbi Chayiv Koris, so chaylev shalak solim, this is included in the chaylev that's on the flanks of the animal. Now all these things that Amar points out, when he points out this business about, you know, you can't really describe it in books, you really need to see it visually. Nowadays we have books with pictures, which help a lot, but in any case, so Amar points out all of these, we're talking Sdavka in the back half of the animal, which is why, like we talked about the other day, which is why the back half is very rarely sold as kosher meat nowadays, because it is very difficult to remove all these things and make sure you don't miss anything. Okay. Now let's talk about things back towards the front of the animal. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, chutin shebiyad asurin. The chutim, the threads, which is to say blood vessels that are in the hand, in the foreleg of the animal, asurin, those are osur. Not as chaylev, but just in other words, because they're blood vessels, they contain blood in them. Rashi describes, these are the ones that we, meaning in Rashi's times, it was a known thing, we take them out of the shoulder of the animal when you're going to cut up an animal, and when you're going to cut up an animal for food, and you have, there's a section by the shoulders over there, the chuck or the brisket or thereabout, then you have these blood vessels that need to be removed. So he's telling you, Asurin, they're also to eat. Amar Rav Safra, so Rav Safra says, Moshe, he means either that he's calling Rav Abba, who is a great Talmud Chacham, Moshe. The Alter Rebbe points out in Tanya, every Talmud Chacham in every generation is a nitzer, which is a spark of Moshe, and therefore he can call a Talmud Chacham Moshe. The other possibility is he's swearing in Moshe's name, I swear, how is it possible to be saying such a thing? Mi Amar Achmana Leisechol Bisra? Did the Torah tell us not to eat meat? What's wrong with this area that you're talking about? This is actually part of the meat. In other words, Tosfos explains that the reason why Rav Safra was so surprised is because he thought that actually Rav Abba is saying they're also as chaylev. Well, this is clearly not chaylev. There's no way that you can call it. You can call this chaylev. So how are you saying that it's osur? Rava says Moshe. He answers back Moshe again, either calling it Absafra Moshe or again swearing in Moshe's name. Mi Omer Achmana Ochol Doma. And did the Torah tell us we can eat blood? No. The problem is not that they're chaylev. These blood vessels over there. The problem is, you're right. They may be covered with fat for protection, but that fat is clearly not chaylev. No. The problem is the fact that they contain blood. So, in other words, now you have, of course, all the meat contains blood, which is why you have to kasher it. But most of the meat, fine, you can wash it and then salt it and all, as we're going to discuss in more detail in the next couple of dafim. So then, fine, you do that. and it removes the blood in the capillaries and in the small blood vessels. But here we're talking about larger blood vessels. If you don't need to remove them, but at least you need to cut them in order that the blood can flow out. Otherwise, sorting them is not going to do very much good. So the Gemara continues. Chascheu malchei. So now, if you cut that area and then you salted it, I feel like deir nami shaper dummy. Then indeed, it would be fine even to cook it in a pot. Meaning, in other words, as we go on, there are certain parts of the meat we're going to talk about in a later perek of our masechta. In the next perek, we're going to talk about in particular as far as the liver. It has to be roasted because there's so much blood in it that regular melicha is not going to deal with it. But you have other cases where, in general, if you roast meat, that's a valid way of taking out the blood without needing salting. We have a Rishonim who say you have to do some salting, but at least not very much. So that would be, for example, if a person's on a salt restricted, on a sodium restricted diet, then that's what you'd have to do. But here, ordinarily, in order to remove the proper way of removing blood from meat is by salting it. So now we're saying if you cut these large blood vessels and then you salted that meat, And then did the regular process of melicha, then fine. After looked at it, nami shapur gummy, then it would be fine even to cook it in a pot. Because in other words, then the blood has been completely removed or removed enough by the salt that then you're fine. Now Tosfos points out that the implication is if you don't cut them, then what did he mean? When he started by saying chutin shabiyad asurin, did that mean that he was saying even if you roasted it? So Tosfos discusses what does that mean? In other words, does it come out to say that even if you're going to roast it, you would still need to cut these blood vessels? It seems to be that the Gemara is saying if you cut it, then not only you can roast it, then you can also cook it, implying that if you don't cut these blood vessels, you wouldn't even be able to roast it. On the other hand, Rashi later on and the Rosh brings from the Goinim, from Amram Goin, and say that no, if you're roasting, you don't need to. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings those opinions. So we do cut it open. So what we do is the actual halacha is when you're talking about deeper blood vessels in the meat, then you do indeed have to cut them before even roasting the meat, because otherwise it won't get otherwise it won't take out the blood effectively. But if they're just shallowly in the meat, then it's good enough even if you don't cut them. And Shulchan Aruch says that if you want to properly be yotze, then you don't rely on cutting the meat. Cut the meat and cut the bone into two, and that way you're making sure you're cutting these blood vessels as well. Getting back to the topic of chaylev, the Gemara says, "Omer of Yehuda Amashmul Reish Me'ayah Ba'amsa Boy Grira." The end of the intestines, one arm along, requires scraping off the fat. V'zehu chaylev shalav dakin. This is included. This is the chaylev that's on the dakin. Dakin literally means the small intestines, which we had earlier in our masechta. That was one of the types of chaylev that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argued about. Whether it's mutter, that's what we're talking about over here. Not the whole, not most of the small intestines. Those are covered by a layer of fat. That's mutter. But here we're talking about one amma at the end of it. Which end are we talking about? So that you have different opinions. That you have different opinions among the Rishonim. Are we talking about the Rashi describes after the fourth stomach, after the keva, now you have the intestines begin from there. So you have the first part of it, which in medicalese is called the duodenum. So that part you have is covered by chaylev, and you would have to scrape off that fat for a length of an amma. The Rambam brings that as one opinion, and then the Rambam brings another opinion from the Goinim that says that actually it's the other end, where by the rectum of the animal that according to the Rambam, that would be the Rambam brings from the Goinim that we're talking about that end, one amma at the end over there by the colon and rectum. The Gemara continues. Here's another thing. You have threads, again, blood vessels or nerves or whatever, that are in the tail of the animal or ulcer. So these are ones, and again, the idea is because those are associated with, those go through, those pass through and nourish the fat that's in that area, where we said before, the fat in that area is also as chaylev. So again, these, as we said before, there's no chutin that are also on a deraisa level, they're also on a derabanan level, but nevertheless, there are threads, there are nerves or blood vessels or whatever over there, nerves we're talking about, that are also. So how do we define them? Chamsha chuti is day. So the Rabbi Yehuda goes on to explain there are five threads, five chamisha chuti is day bekafla in the flanks over there. There are five such threads, five such nerves. Plus imimino tremi smaller. You have tos imimino betarkemi smaller. Three on the right and two on the left. Plus the maftalu tray, of the three that start out, you have three of them that start out going towards the right of the animal, and then each of them, maftalu tray, each one then branches into two major branches, tray, maftalu, the plusa, and then of the two that come out on the left, each one of them branches into three major branches. So altogether, in other words, it comes out, altogether you have 12 sub-branches. Now, why is it important to know that? Why do you need to know the exact number of them? To know how many branches. The reason is nafkamina. The reason why it's practical to know the ishalaflahu ad dechamimi, if you pull them out when the animal is still warm, if you pull them out as soon as possible after you shech the animal, mishalfi, then they will come out very easily. The Eloi, Borichatuti, Basrayo, and if not, then you're gonna need to dig in after them until you find the total number of 12. Rashi describes they start out at the spinal cord, of course, because they're nerves. And then the branches that we're talking about over here end up sticking to they're right under the animal's chest at the beginning of the ribs. So these are the nerves that we're talking about. But now we just said that it's on the tail. So Rashi understands that we're actually talking about two different groups of nerves. We're talking about one group that goes to the tail, and then a different group that goes towards the front of the animal. But in any case, if you pull out these nerves, if you pull them out when the animal has just been shechted, then it'll be very easy to get them. If not, then you're going to have to put in a lot of effort to get them out. So Tosfos points out, then for that reason, in fact, if somebody is going to be buying brisket or whatever, you would have to tell them he has to be very careful to pull out these nerves, because of course, by the time the person buys it, it no longer has the body heat of the animal. Tosfos also points out the whole thing would only be dirabanan, but fine, dirabanan, you still need to do it. Next. Amar Abaye, became Rabbi Yehuda. Here's more that we need to know about chutin, about which kind of threads, again, a general term that includes nerves and blood vessels and other such things like that. So Abaye, became Rabbi Yehuda, or some say Rabbi Yehuda says, Hamisha chuti havu. There are five threads that are relevant over here. There are five places in the body where you're going to find such chutin, such threads that are also. Tlosa mishum tarba v'tchein mishum dama. Three of them are also on grounds of being chaylev, and two of them are also on the grounds of being that they're large blood vessels which contain blood. And again, we had the machlokas. We had the machlokas that are shown in before. You definitely need to cut them if you're going to be cooking the meat. If you're going to be roasting, that's what we discussed before between Tosfos and Rashi and the Rosh about that. In any case, so you should know there are five major areas of the body that you need to look at, says Abaye or Rabbi Yehuda. The tachli, you have the chutim that are in the spleen, or the kafli and the ones on the flanks, or the kuyasa and on or in the kidney, mishum tarba, all of those are also as chelem. The yoda, then you have the ones from the foreleg of the animal that we mentioned before, or the loya, and the ones from the uh, and the ones from the from the jaw of the animal. So those, Mishum Doma, those are also on the grounds of blood, meaning that you need to cut them open. Rashi points out, now we're only talking about it, but we're not talking about the really gigantic blood vessels. Rashi explains, you also have, what about, for example, you have the veins and arteries in the neck. Why aren't we listing those? So Rashi says, because those are, of course, it's true, those do need to be cut. But we're focusing over here about smaller ones. We're not talking about really gigantic ones like that. Those indeed need to be cut, but that's not what we're talking about. However, there is discussion about that, and there is discussion about that, because the fact is, the Gemara is saying there's only two places where you need to cut them to remove the blood. So that seems to imply that you don't need to. So the Ran says so. In fact, the Rosh and the Ran talk about it. That no, it means, in other words, that. Sometimes you cut them during the shchita. Back in the second parak, we learned that by a bird, Rabbi Yehuda holds you need to cut them anyway. By an animal, you don't, because generally speaking, you dismember an animal before you cut it anyhow, and usually you're going to cut those anyway. So in other words, according to that way of looking at it, they bring from the David, the only reason it mentions these two, that even though, relatively speaking, they're close to the neck, nevertheless, you still need to cut them separately. You're not going to say that the blood in them will have drained out through the shchita. But in fact, veins in other places in the body would indeed require cutting. And then the Ran disagrees and says that no, only these, because the Chachamim knew that the blood in them is not going to drain out properly through the jugular veins when the cut up for shechting, as opposed to other ones will. So there's quite a bit of discussion among the Rishonim about the ins and outs of this, when we're saying that there's only five areas where you need to be concerned about that. In addition, you also have the question, when we mention the jaw, it means not just the jaw, it means the tongue as well. It means that whole area. In any case, so you have those five areas. So the Gemara says, "L'mayin nafka mina." So why is it important to know which ones are which? So the reason is the hani the mishum dama, because the ones that are only also because of blood, imachatech lahu molach lahu, if you cut them open and then you salt the meat, shaper dummy, then you're fine, because now you've caught the blood will drain out and now the salting will be able to help. Again, as we talked about before, there's machlokes who's showing him whether the same thing would apply as for whether you need that for roasting as well, or whether for roasting maybe you don't even need to do that. And again, is there a difference between shallower and deeper veins? Anyway, so those, all you have to do is you have to cut them open, then you're fine. Anachlas lo takanja, as opposed to the three from the spleen, the flanks, and then the kidney that we mentioned. There's no way to fix those up. Chelev is chelev, and therefore you'd have to remove them altogether. Okay. More on this topic. You should know that also there are five membranes in the body which are also relevant as far as the halachas of kashrus, as far as the halachas of nikur. Three of them are also on grounds of chelev, because they cover chelev, and they themselves are part of, they themselves cover and go along with the chelev. And two of them are because they have a lot of blood vessels in them, and therefore, again, you have an issue with them as far as not being allowed to eat blood. So the tachli, the kafli, the koryasa. So the same three that we said before: the spleen, the flanks, and the kidneys. Mishum tarba, those, the membrane over them. So in the case of the spleen, we're talking about there's a layer of fat with a membrane on top of them. And by the flanks, we talk about before the different parts of the flanks. And as far as the kidney, again, it's the renal capsule. Mishum tarba. So all of those are also on the grounds of chelin. Now you have the two that are also on the grounds of blood, the beye or the mukra mishum dama. Then you have the ones of the beitzim, of the animal's testicles, and of surrounding the brain. Those are the issue in them is because of the blood in them, because those have a very thick network of blood vessels. So again, if you wanted to eat them, then you'd have to cut them open very carefully so that as much of the blood as possible will drain out. The pashtus, the one we're talking about with the brain over here, is the pashtus, the arachnoid mater or whatever, or something like that, which is exactly that. It has a network of blood vessels that nourishes the brain. So the pashtus, that's what we're talking about. Okay. So the Gemara tells Rabbi Yehuda in this connection, talking about the spleen, Rabbi Yehuda, we haven't really talked about the spleen very much, by the way. We didn't talk about it much in Hilchos Tzefes because the spleen, we said, is not really a vital organ. What we did talk about is it has a thick end, where we said if there's a hole in the thick end, then it can make the animal trefa. And we talked about, is that even because the spleen itself, or is it more because the thick end lies on top of one of the stomachs, and if it gets punctured, then the stomach itself is not protected either. But now we're talking about it in terms of chalev, where the whole thing is covered with a layer of fat, and again it's got krum, it's got this membrane above it which can be peeled off, which marks it as chalev. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia, Hamka kolaf le tachla le levi braided of huna bachia. Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia one time was peeling off the layer of fat and the membrane on the spleen for Levi, the son of Rav Huna bar Chiya. So Levi wanted to eat the meat of the spleen. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia was preparing it for him. Habakkah goyim le miloy. And again, he was goyim, like we said before, which just means to cut it flush. He was just cutting it flush on the top. He wasn't actually getting the whole layer of it. Amalei, So Levi tells him, Chus Beitve, go down deeper. You have to remove all of it. So the Gemara says, Osavu Ashbeche. So then Levi's father, Rav Huna bar Chiya, came and found him, and he saw that now Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia is busy trying to take off the entire layer. Omalei, so he tells his son Levi, he says, Hochi Oma Avua De'imach Mishum De'rav, you should know, your mother's father said in the name of Rav, and the Gemara interjects, Umanu Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'aba, who is Levi's grandfather, Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'aba. Now obviously he didn't have to tell his son that. This is the Gemara, this is the editors of the Gemara. When the Gemara is being prepared for us to learn, we wouldn't know who Rav Huna bar Chiya's father-in-law was. So now we're told it's Rabbi Yirmiya Ba'aba. So he said in the name of Rav, Loy Osra Torah El Shalab Dad Bilvad. The Torah Aser is only the fat that's on the dad, that's on the thick part of the kidney, and not the thin part. So don't tell Rabbi Yehuda bar Oshia that he has to remove the entire fat from the entire, not kidney, if I said kidney, I said wrong, the spleen, I mean, the spleen. You don't have to remove the fat from the entire thing of it, only from the thick end. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so? The reason is because again, when you look at where the spleen is located in the body, it's located on the It's located basically where the large first stomach of the animal starts. So at that point, you have a layer of fat that covers the stomachs. You have two major sheets of fat there called the greater omentum and the lesser omentum. So it begins over there, and therefore, it covers the keres, that first large stomach, and therefore, it also covers the part of the spleen which is there. Meanwhile, then you have the thin end of it which hangs further down. That one, the fat over there, is not part of either of these, not part of either of these sheets, and therefore, that wouldn't be also. So the Gemara says, "Any is that so?" Va'amar Rav Hamnuna, Tana. But Rav Hamnuna says, "We learn in a brisa, Krum Shalat Choil Oser. The membrane that's on the spleen is Oser. The Ein Chayav and Olav. However, a person is not Chayav for eating it as Chayav because not Oser Daraisa, only Drabanan." Now, Heki Domi, now what part are we talking about? Ilei Mashal Adad, are we talking about the part on the thick end of the spleen? Am I in Chayav and Olav? Why wouldn't she be Chayav for it? That we're saying is part of the chelav shal akerev. Ella de kule. Wouldn't it mean the fat on the entire spleen? And so in other words, one end of it would be also daraisa, and the other end, once you get past the omentum over there, then the rest of the fat on it is also drabanan. Maybe because one is easily confused with the other. So Levi says, you see, you have to remove all of it, part daraisa and part drabanan. Omalei, so his father, Rav Huna bar Chiya, tells him, okay, itanya, tanya. Fine, if it says in a braisa, then it says in a braisa. So then fine, we have to remove all of it. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, okay. So the Gemara says Gufas, and now getting back into this, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Tana Krum Shalat Chol also Vein Chayavan Olav. The membrane that's on the spleen is also, but a person is not chayav for eating it. There's also only Drabanan Krum Shal Gabi Kulya also. And similarly, he goes on to say also the membrane that's on the kidney is the same thing. Also would be also Vein Chayavan Olav, but a person would not be chayav for it. So the Gemara says Valtanya Chayavan Olav, but we have another brayso that says you are chayav for eating it. So the Gemara says tchola tchola like kasha. So when it comes to the spleen, there's no kasha. Ha keneged adad. So again, you have the part that is on the thick part, which is also minatoyra, and then you have the part which is not on the thick part, which is also only dirabanan. Dad, by the way, literally means a breast, so it means that, well, because of the thick end, it resembles that in shape because it's puffed up, kind of. Kulya, nami like kasha. And as far as the kidney, there's also no kasha. Hobby law, hobby tachva, because you're talking about the upper, you're talking about the outer layer versus the inner layer. So Rashi describes you have the outer layer, the renal capsule, which is. There you have the chelem that covers the kidneys, and there you have, again, there's a thin membrane over it, and there's no question that is also, that's we said before, that's chelem, that's in the turtles, clearly lists, ala cloyus, the kidney, the fat that's on the kidneys, and that was definitely also. Now you have below that, there's a thin membrane, and that we're saying is only also drabanan. Okay. Fine. Now, we mentioned before about beitzim, we mentioned about the testicles of an animal, and we mentioned the two layers of it, where we said there's a layer that has a very rich network of blood vessels, and that part would be also as dam, unless you do something with it. So now, let's talk about that part of the animal. So the Gemara says, be'echashilta. Suppose you have the beitzim of the animal that have been crushed, they're still inside the well. So yeah, Rabbeinu Gershom actually understands chashilta means that they've been crushed. So in other words, the animal has been sterilized by taking those and crushing them, but nevertheless they're still in the scrotum. There are achronim who learn in Rashi's wording that it means rather that they've been cut. And then they're still. Either way, the point is they're still partially attached, but they're in the scrotum. So, are you allowed to eat them? Rav Ami v'Rav Asi chad also v'chad shori. So now, if this was done while the animal was alive, and now you shechted the animal, are you allowed to eat them? They've been cut or squashed or whatever. Or are they still considered part of the animal, or are they considered eiv menachai, and therefore they'd be also even after the animal is shechted? So Rav Ami v'Rav Asi. So Rav Ami and Rav Asi argue on that. Chad also v'chad shori. One says it's also, the other says it's mutter. Manda also, the one who says it's also, he would say midloy kabarian, since you see they never recover, once they've been cut or squashed or whatever, they're never gonna recover and be functional again. So therefore that shows hani eiv menachai nehu, then therefore they're considered like eiv menachai. No different than if you cut off a leg or some other part before the animal was shechted. Now, Tosfa says maybe midaraisa. It wouldn't be osir. It would be like what we learned earlier in Ar Masechta about when you have a body part partially detached from the animal and it's never going to recover, where we said that it was also only drabanan. Fine, so between Rav Ami and Rav Asi, the one who says it's osir is going to say that it's only osir drabanan. So when we say Eiv Menachai, we don't mean on daraisa level, we just mean on a drabanan level, Tosfa says. In any case, so the point is that it would be osir. Umanda Shori. However, the one who says it's mutter, he would say, midaloikam masrachan, since you see that they don't spoil, they don't rot away, hani chayusa isbahu, so it means they still have a certain chayus in them. In other words, after all, you know, they're still attached by blood vessels, they still have a blood supply, they've been squashed or cut or whatever, so that they're not functional as far as being able to produce sperm, but, they're still attached to the extent that then they're still and they're protected in the scrotum, and they don't spoil, so therefore you see they still have enough of a chayus to not be considered eiv menachai. The idach, whereas the first opinion says, hi deloy kamasrachan, you know why? The reason why they don't rot, deloy kashalach b'hu avira, because they're not exposed to the outside air, so like, you know, to put it in modern terms, bacteria can't get to them, they're only gonna spoil if they're exposed to that. The idach, that's the other opinion, will answer back. You know what? The fact is they still are attached to the body. The hydroloid barrier, the reason why they're never going to recover, because they become weakened because by what you did to them, by them being cut or squashed or whatever, so therefore they don't have like enough vitality to regenerate. But nevertheless, they're still considered part. They're still considered part of the animal. Okay. So what's the halacha? Amalei Rav Yochanan l'Rav Shimon ba'Abba. So Rav Yochanan tells Rav Shimon ba'Abba, here is the bottom line. Hani be'chashulta sharin sharyam. This case over here that we're talking about, where the beitzim were cut or squashed or whatever, they are actually mutter. The haflo is safe. However, he tells Rav Shimon ba'Abba, you should not eat it mishum v'al titash terasimecha, because as the pasuk says, don't abandon the Torah of your mother. So in other words, you come from a place where they consider it to be you come from Babel. Rav Shimon ba'Abba came from Babel, and therefore so you should still follow the halachas of Babel. Tosfos gives two explanations. Now, earlier in our Masechta, we talked about when is a person bound by the menhagim where he came from, if now he moved someplace else. So one possibility, we said, is if he plans to return, if he plans to move back to where he was originally, then he still has to follow the halachas of his homeland. Well, in this case, Rav Shimon ba'Abba apparently was planning to return to Babel at some point. Or the other possibility, Tosfos says, is that maybe it means he's telling Rav Shimon ba'Abba, when you visit Babel, then in fact you will be also in it, but when you hear in Eretz Yisrael, then it would be fine. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi also were from Babel, for that matter. Rishonim point out, the Ran and the Rosh point out that in general, that over time, the minhag of Babel became the universal minhag. So, because again, it's similar to Eva Menachai, and therefore it became the universal minhag to ask those such testicles. So they'd be mutter. So if they had never, if nothing had been done to them, if the animal had never been castrated, then they'd be fine, just like any other part of the body, as long as you deal with that outer layer of blood vessels. But if they were squashed or cut or whatever we just said, they was done to Be'er Hashilta, then the universal minhag of Jews now is to say that it's also. More on this topic, Omer Ma'abravashi, Hani Be'e Degadia, when you have the testicles of a young goat, Ad Tlosin Yomim Shayin B'loi Klippa, if the animal was shafted when it's less than 30 days old, and Rashi, by the way, says we're not just talking about a goat. This would apply to any animal. Although there are Rishonim who say that maybe there's a reason for it to apply to a goat, but anyway. So when it comes to the testicles of an animal, if it's below 30 days old, shayin below klipa, then it's mutter to eat them without peeling off that outer membrane, because at that point the network of blood vessels has not really developed so much that you should have a problem with it as far as blood. But afterwards, if you find that the testicles contain zera, contain sperm, then you know they obviously have a good blood supply. So then asurin, then they'd be also, unless you peel off that layer. The iloy azra'an, if the animal hasn't yet gotten to the point of producing sperm, sharyan, then it would be mutter. So it must have been yadinan. Well, how are we supposed to know? How are we going to be able to tell whether it reached that point yet? And the answer is iispo shuraiki sunki asiron, because we have to look at them actually and see if they have red threads in them, which are the blood vessels, asiron, then they would be also, because now the fact that they're so red shows us, in other words, that now they have a very rich blood supply, and therefore they're going to be also because of the issue of blood. If they don't have those red streaks in them, shalyan, then they're mutter, because then you know that there's no zera in them. So in other words, not you look for zera, and based on that you determine whether they have that blood supply. It's the other way around. Look if they have the blood supply, and then you'll know whether the animal has reached that stage of growth where now it's going to be awesome. Okay. So now let's talk more about this matter of parts of the animal that are also as because of the blood that's in them and what we do with it. So the Gemara says umsi, as far as raw meat, Bae, and as far as the testicles, or Mizruti, and as far as the blood vessels of the neck, which we're going to explain soon what the deal is with each of those, Pligi Barab, Acha V'Ravina, instead of Acha and Ravina, argue about the three of those, what the din is, as we're going to go and explain what exactly the scenario is. So first of all, the Gemara interjects before we get into the actual machloikas. Now we're saying, Rav Acha and Ravina argue, well, which one says what? B'cholat, you should know, B'cholat Torah Kula, Ravina L'Kula, Rav Acha L'Chumra. Throughout most of the Torah, whenever we have a machloikas between these two Amaroyim, Ravina is usually the one who is Mekel, and Rav Acha is the one who's Machmer, the Hilchsek, Ravina L'Kula, and then the Halacha ends up being like Rava, like Ravina, and we go Lakula. Lavar Mehani Tlas, with the exception of these three parts of the animal that we just mentioned, where it's the other way around, the Rav Acha Lakula, Ravina Lachumra, here Rav Acha is the one who's Mekel on these three, and Ravina is the one who's Machmer, the Hilchasak, Rav Acha Lakula, and in all three of them, the Halacha is like Rav Acha and we're Mekel. So in other words, whenever we have a Machloikas, Ravina and Rav Acha, generally speaking, the Halacha is going to be Lakula. Most of the time, that means we're going to follow Ravina, and in these three, it means we're going to follow Rav Acha. Gerin Hashas, Rav Akiva Eger points out there are a couple of machloikas in here and there in Shas, which are exceptions to that rule. So we often have a case that even when the Gemara gives us a general rule, it's not an absolute rule. There can be exceptions, and then Rav Akiva Eger points out there are a couple of them. There are a couple of them in some places in Shas. In any case, so what's the machloikas as follows? First of all, umsa. The first one is as far as raw meat. So umsa de asmik. So if the raw meat is red. Now, why would that be? In other words, you have when the animal was alive, it got struck in a certain area, and then there was a bruise over there. So now you cut open the animal and you find blood over there. So if you cut into that area, in the place where there's this collection of blood, so that the blood can drain out, and then you salted the meat, if you look there, nami shakur dami, then it would be fine, even to cook it in a pot, because again, that effectively is between cutting it and salting it, then you'll get out the blood effectively. Talya nami b'shvuda, and if you decide, instead of cooking it, you want to roast it, If you suspend it on a spit, so you put it in the oven, on a spit to roast without cutting it, and then Rashi describes you salt it a little bit like you would salt meat before you roast it. Rashi over here is saying you need to salt it a little bit. There are Rishonim who disagree and say that you don't even need to salt it at all. One interesting thing, back when I learned Hilchos Melicha for Smicha many years ago, our Rashi Yeshiva pointed out that there's an interesting discussion among Achronim. Do you dafka always have to use salt? What about, for example, instead of salt, the sodium chloride, could you use potassium chloride? Could you use some other thing like that? Is there even maybe a possibility you could use sugar? And the consensus of the postgame is that no, only salt has this ability to draw out blood. Other similar kinds of chemicals and things like that do not. So therefore, in other words, if a person is on a salt, is on a low sodium diet, then they may not be able to eat kosher meat because it's very heavily salted. And even though it's washed afterwards, it doesn't completely get out the salt. They may have no choice but to eat roast meat only. And then again, even according to Rashi, you need to salt it a little bit. According to many other Rishonim, you don't even need to. So here you have a piece of meat, which again, it had a bruise in it, and therefore now when you cut it open, you find an area which has a collection of an unnatural collection of blood in it. So again, you can either cut into that area and salt it, so that's fine. Talya nami b'shvuda, if you suspend it on a spit in the oven, then fine. A doy of dama, then the blood will flow out. And then the blood will flow out, and therefore that's fine. According to Rashi, it comes out that we're saying that even if you don't cut it at all and you just put it on a spit and roast it, then that would be fine. Tosfos actually disagrees and says that you still would have to cut it. You still would have to cut into it. So in other words, the idea would be there's a difference between whether a blood vessel is intact, and here when you have a whole intact collection of blood, etc. Anyway, agumri, now the question is, what happens if instead you put this piece of meat directly on the coals? So now the question is the blood going to flow out or not? Plugi bar Rav Acha b'Ravina. Here's where Rav Acha and Ravina disagree. Found Oma Mishav Shivi Lay. One says that the heat of the hot coals will pull out the will drain out the blood, and therefore it's mutter. V'chadam Matzmas Tzanti Lay. The other opinion says no. On the contrary, what it's going to do is it's going to cause the blood to harden in there, and therefore it's not going to come out, and therefore you have a problem. Now you have meat with blood in it. So again, if it had room to flow out because it was hanging on a spit, then everybody would agree that there's no problem. But here where it's lying directly on the coals, then one opinion between then the opinion over here, we're saying the more stricter opinion, which we're saying over here would be Ravina, would say that the blood is not going to flow out. You would actually have to cut it open first. And again, we said the halacha is l'kula, so the halacha is it's fine even if you put it directly on the coals without cutting. They say you have the same exact machlokas as far as the testicles of an animal and as far as the jugular veins, the area of the neck where the jugular veins were cut. You have the same kind of machlokas as far as if you put them directly on the coals, is that good enough? Or is it no good and you would have to cut them further? Okay. The Gemara continues. Here's another case, talking as far as dinim of blood. The Gemara says, "Risha b'kivsha." If you take an animal, if you take the head of an animal, and you bury it, Rashi describes first you soak it in water, and then Rashi describes you bury it in hot ashes, in other words, to burn off the hair. So the question is that going to cause the blood in it to congeal, and then you're going to have a problem? So, if you put it neck down, so that the area where it was cut by the shchita is downward, then fine, the blood will flow out for shari, and therefore it'll be mutter. Atzdadin, but if you put the animal's head on the side. By the way, that's as far as so here actually the Taz points out in this connection. You know, before we've been saying that roasting is good enough, but here the point is you have to consider that network of blood vessels surrounding the brain, and therefore so that's going to be a problem unless you have it neck down. That's Dodin, but if you put it on the side. But if you put it on the side, mikba kofi va osir, then the blood is going to collect and congeal inside it, and therefore it's going to be osir. Oisve anechire, what happens if you put it with the snout of the animal down? So then, dotve midi shari, if you stick something into the nostrils so that they stay open and the blood will flow out, shari, then it'll be mutter, viloi osir, and if not, then it's going to be osir, because again, the blood is going to congeal inside the head, and then you're going to have a problem. So that's one version. Ikadamri, another version is anchire va'abes hashchita doiv. Another version is that no, if you put it with snout down, or if you put it with the beis hashchita, with the neck down, doiv, then it'll for sure flow out and it'll be mutter. At dodin, but if you put it on the side, idotzme midi shori, if you stick something in to keep the nostrils open, then it would be mutter v'iloy oster, and if not, then it would be also. So according to the second version, you could even have it lying on its side, but as long as you have something to keep it open so the blood will flow out. So according to that second version, it would be fine. According to the second version, it would be fine like that. Now, again, we learned before that Tosfos says that whenever you have blood, you always need to cut it, even if you're going to roast it. So therefore, it would mean over here that actually it wouldn't help so much. It wouldn't help so much for the membranes around the brain. You wouldn't be able to. So in other words, are we talking about you putting the head in the hot ashes, as Rashi describes, to actually roast it fully and then be able to have a completely edible head, or are we talking about just enough to burn off the hair? So if we say it's just enough to burn off the hair, then fine. But if you want to actually roast it over there, you would actually need to open up the head and cut through these membranes. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem. Otherwise, you're going to have a problem of blood. Tosfos in this connection brings that actually, so you have the same problem. For example, as far as defeathering a chicken. So Tosfos mentions this point. Also, what they do is they soak it in water, and then they put it in hot ashes to burn off the feathers. So Tosfos says, because over here we're talking about, you have the different possibilities how you have to position the head, because you have, you have the skull, and you have a lot of different things, you have the skull and different things like that are going to prevent the blood from coming out, as opposed to over here, Tosfos points out that with a chicken, no problem. It's basically directly on the fire, and then the fire is directly in contact with it, and therefore it'll draw out all the blood. So not everybody agrees to that, though, and the fact is you have, and the fact is, as far as defeathering chickens, it gets a little bit, so Tosfos says that you don't have a problem. You can do it however you want. On the other hand, the Rashba brings from the Itur that says that you would have a problem as well. The blood is going to move from one part to the other inside, and then therefore it would be also. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says that actually, what you could do is you could put it in coals or in hot ashes, but first you would have to wash off the area of the shchita to get all the blood off, and second of all, you'd have to make sure that you don't heat it up too much, because otherwise you're going to get blood out of the liver and out of the heart, and it's going to make the rest of it also. The Rama says we don't do that. The Rama says that in practice we don't do such a thing to put it in coals or hot ashes to defeather it. I believe that nowadays in kosher chicken plants, I think that actually they taka because of this problem, because of this issue of how you're going to get off the feathers without doing that. So in practice I think they use machines nowadays to just pluck the feathers rather than trying to use any kind of heat to remove them, because once you start with heat, then you have the question of whether it's going to cause the blood to congeal in it and make it ulcer. Now, this was all kind of a digression. Most of this last daf was a digression because we had talked about the Gidan Nosha, about how much of it needs to be removed and how much the fat of it needs to be removed, and that led us into this whole discussion about fat and then eventually about blood vessels and all. So now let's get back to matters of the Gidan Nosha. The Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, or Hagoris Abahad, the word Gufa, because now we're getting back to something that we said before. Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, Shnei Gidim Hain. There are two Gidim that are relevant in the leg of the animal. A Pnimi Samach La'etzim Osir, V'chayavin Olav. The inner one, which is closer to the bone, is Osir, and a person will be Chayav Malchus for eating it. Chitin Samach La'basar Osir, V'en Chayavin Olav. The outer one, which is closer to the flesh, which is more in the muscles and not so close to the thigh bone, that would be Osir Midrabanan, V'en Chayavin Olav. But a person is not chayav for eating it. So Rashi actually, we learned about this before, at the Pnimi and Chitzon. Rashi had described like this, on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Rashi had described the Pnimi Samach La'etzim, Rashi said, was a long nerve, which is, it runs along the width of the thigh muscle, the quadriceps muscle. So when you're opening up the thigh, then you'll find there are branches of it throughout the thigh. So one end of it, it starts out at the spinal cord, it goes through the muscle over there until the point where the thigh bone and the shin bone meet. And at that point, Rashi describes that's what means samach la'etzim, because at that point it's close to the bone. So that would be the one that's also. Then you have a different one. Rashi describes that you'll have also one that's on the calf, that's on the quadriceps muscle itself, and you have over there. So Rashi describes it's called pnimi in the sense. That not so much that it's inner within the leg itself, but it's inner in the sense it's towards the inner side of the animal because it faces the opposite leg. Here Rashi explains it somewhat differently, that it means that, Tosfos quotes Rashi as saying, although we actually don't have it in Rashi here in front of us, but in any case, Tosfos quotes a version of Rashi that has a different explanation, that pnimi would be called, that it's called pnimi because it runs very deeply embedded in the muscles until it reaches the bone. So again, which nerves we're talking about, there are different understandings and different ways of understanding what Rashi is saying and different other Rishonim on the subject, primarily the Gidan Nosha is the sciatic nerve, but you also have those branches. There's a major branch off it called the saphenous nerve. There's another one called the femoral nerve, and there's a couple of different nerves that are relevant over here. So again, one of them is also Daraisa, and the other one we're saying is also Dirabanan. Chitin samach labasa also, the outer one, which is closer to the flesh, is also ve'in chayov anala, but a person is not chayav malchus for eating it, because not also daraisa. So the Gemara says, well, tani pnimi samach labasa, don't we learn in a braisa, the inner one that's closer to the, that's closer to the flesh, is also. And the answer is Omer of Achav, Omer of Kahana, it's Ludi Niklid. It goes in and it embeds into the muscle. So there, it's called stomachal muscle. It's close to the muscles. It's close to the flesh, but it starts out it starts out closer to the bone. So, Amar of Yehuda, Heicha the Pari Tabchi Itzmar. Specifically, we're talking about the area where the butchers open up the animal when there's an area over there close to the thigh, close to the pelvis, really. Where when a butcher is cutting up an animal, he separates the thigh from the body over there. So now that's the area that's called the Gidach Chitzen, and that's what we're calling Samach La'etzem. It's closer to the bone. So again, you have different nerves that are there, and in fact, there's at least one nerve over there that actually, according to Simonim, is entirely mutter, whereas according to Ashkenazim and Sfardim, it would be also at least Dirabanan. Okay. More on this topic about parts that are also in mutter. The Gemara says, Itmar, Tabach Shenimsa Chelev Achrav. Suppose you have a butcher where he's supposed to be doing nikur, he's supposed to be removing all of the chelev and all the everything else that we're talking about. Suppose that you found that after he finished with it, you found chelev there. So what do we do with him? First of all, how much if there's left is a problem. Rabbi Yehuda Amar b'Kasa'ira, Rabbi Yehuda says if there's a barley grain piece of chelev left over there, then it's a problem, and then it's a problem. Rabbi Yechon Amar b'Kazayis, Rabbi Yechon says only if you find a kazayis. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Papa, v'leit Sligi. Rav Papa points out there's actually no argument between them. Kan l'hal koisei, kan l'abrei. One's as far as to give him malchus, the other one is to fire him. So if you find even a barley grain size of chelev over there, then you have to fire him because he's obviously not doing his job properly. But to actually give him malchus, that would only be if there was a kazayas, because a kazayas is enough that a person would be chayav for eating it. So the Gemara says, Amar Mazutra, Mazutra says, Kisa'urda b'makabachad. Another way of looking at it is, if you find a barley grain in even one place, then it would be a problem, and then we fire him for that. Kazayas, afilu b'vez v'gimel m'kaimus, but as far as when we say a kazayas, that would be even if it's in multiple different places and it adds up to a kazayas, then it would be a problem, and we would give him malchus. So now, what does Mazutra mean? So Marshal understands that Mazutra is arguing with Rav Papa. He's saying, you, Rav Papa, are saying there's a difference between giving him malchus and firing him. According to Marshal, Mazutra is saying, no, that's not the distinction. Did you find a single piece of chalev in one place that's the size of a grain of barley, or did you find a little bit here, a little bit there, and altogether it adds up to a kazayas? Many Rishonim understand that there's no argument. They paskin the Reef and the Rosh and so forth, paskin like both Rav Papa and Mazutra, that in other words, it's both. That if you find a grain of barley grain in even one place, or if you find a tzayis spread out in different places, then you have the consequences. The Hilchasa, and that's the halacha, l'hal kosei the kazayis, to give him malchus would only be if you find a kazayis of chelev that you left, la'abre, because sa'oda, but to fire him would be enough even if you find a barley grain size of chelev in one place. Okay. So in this connection, the Mishnah had said, ain't a tabakh in their morning full of, the Mishnah had said that we don't believe a butcher to say that he removed the gidan nafta, because we said the gidan nafta is very difficult to remove, and therefore we're concerned that he didn't get it out completely. That was what a mayor said. The Chum said, you do believe him about that as well as about chelev. Now, first, this points out, by the way, we learned before, Rabbi Yehuda says the chelev around the gidan nasha is that the fat around the gidan nasha is actually mutter, so the according to him, there's nothing to talk about neman and olav. So we mean chelev in the rest of the body. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would, according to the chachamim, which is actually Rabbi Yehuda, would be that we do, in fact, if we buy meat from a kosher butcher, we can trust him to say that he removed the gidan nasha and that he removed the chelev. And then again, you know, even if we find that he left behind, if we find that he actually left chelev, then there's going to be consequences. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yechon, Chazru Loi Menei Monin. Later on, the Chachamim changed their mind and agreed that it would be, that we can believe him on that. Amar Rav Nachman, but Rav Nachman says, how could that be? Achshu Dori, have the generations become better? So what are you telling them? Originally we held like the mayor that we don't believe him, and now the generations have gotten better and we do believe him. Why? It's still the same difficulty to remove all the chelev and everything else that we've been discussing on the staff. Why all of a sudden would the chachamim change their mind and say that we believe him? And the answer is me'ikra, that was sovereign of the mayor, because originally they held like the mayor, Lord Havel Mehemni, so therefore they held. That we don't believe them, that they can, in particular, the mayor holds, as we learned earlier, that the Gidan Nasha has to be completely removed, all the branches of it, so it's very, very difficult to do that, so therefore you can't trust them, you have to check yourself to make sure that all the branches of the Gidan Nasha were removed. All of a sudden, Sabri, Rabbi Yehuda, but later on they came to hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you don't even have to remove the whole Gidan Nasha, just the surface part of it, so therefore that's very easy to do, and therefore we can trust them to say that they did that. The Gemara says, if the Ikka de Masni La Seifa, on the other hand, there are those who learn Rabbi Yechanan's statement as going on the end of the Mishnah, where we said, the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that we believe a butcher about the Gidan Nasha and about Chelev. So, if we went to the second version, Amar Rav Chiya Ba'aba, Amar Rav Yechanan, Chazru Lana, in their morning, that later on, the Chachamim changed their mind and said, you know what, we don't believe them, you have to check for it yourself. But in that, Amar Rav Nachman, Mishnah has in their morning. So, according to in that second version, Rav Nachman says, no, nowadays we do in fact believe them. So the Gemara again asks, how could Rav Nachman say such a thing? Achshu Dori, have the generations become better? If we didn't trust them before, then why all of a sudden would we trust them now? And the answer is Me'ikra Savru Akir of Yehuda, because originally they held like Rav Yehuda, so they held Ne'eman, because according to Rav Yehuda, you only need to remove the Gidan Nasha closer to the surface. Chodesh Savru Akir of Meir. So later on, they decided like Rav Meir that you have to actually check for all the branches and sub branches of the Gidan Nasha. So, as long as people remembered that the halacha used to be like Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore, they had gotten used to only removing a superficial part of the Gidan Nasha, then we wouldn't believe them to say that they followed the mayor, who is Machmer, and says that you have to dig it all out, because they're not used to it. The Hashka gotten shiur of Rabbi Yehuda. Nowadays, though, and later on, in Rabbi Nachman's time, they had long since forgotten the way of doing it, like what Rabbi Yehuda said, they've gotten used to, that it has to be done like a mayor, and you actually have to dig in, Nehemi, then therefore we can believe them to say that they removed it completely. So even though it is a kirchah to do, nevertheless we can believe them. If we find that they didn't, then there are consequences. Okay, and the Mishnah had finished off Valach Chelev, the Chachamim said that you can also trust them as far as Chelev. So Chelev, man b'char shmei, who said anything about Chelev until now? Reb Meir had said you don't trust them to say they removed the Gidan Nasha. The Chachamim was saying you trust them about that, and as far as Chelev, so where does Chelev come in? And the answer is, Hokikama, that's what the Mishnah meant. Ein neman on ol Valach Chelev, Reb Meir had meant that you don't trust them about removing Chelev either, you would have to check for yourself. However, the Chachamim, which is primarily Rabbi Yehuda, disagrees and says that no, you can believe him about that and about the Chelev, so you can buy meat from a kosher butcher and take it for granted that he's removed the parts that have to be removed and not have to check yourself again. If you can't, then you may have to trust them yourself. Tosva says, we learned before, and Amar Aleph, for example, Tosva says there may be certain blood vessels and things that you have to check for yourself. So nowadays, you know, we rely on the kosher meat packing plants, and we hope they do their job properly. And of course, they have mashgichim. Every so often, though, you do hear things where they missed something, and then that can create some serious problems. So you have to they have to make sure the mashgichim are really on top of their game to make sure that they're not missing anything.